Chapter 3. Nikki. All that was once great is washed away in the rain. On Monday, the floods began. The waters swept over the Ventura Freeway, flooded the Sepulveda Basin, killed 6 people, and left hundreds more hanging on to telephone poles and antennas for their lives. On the radio, Governor Pete Wilson declared a state of emergency and said that we were in the midst of the worst storm of the century. That didn't matter, though, to Tommy and me. We drove for 2 hours to get to rehearsal in Burbank from Westlake Village, while Mick, who was up in the mountains somewhere, had an even more grueling ride. We met in the studio lounge and waited for Vince. On the news, we watched people swimming out of their cars on Burbank Boulevard. 1 hour passed. 2 hours passed. 3 hours passed. 4 hours passed. We called Vince every half hour, but each time there was a busy signal. Because we had all driven through the storm just to go to rehearsal that day, the longer we had to wait for Vince, who only lived half the distance away that we did, the more pissed we became. This was a crucial album, the follow-up to the biggest success we had ever had, and he didn't seem to be taking it seriously. He had started taking Thursdays and Fridays off to go to the races, and would usually return late on Mondays. So every week, we'd only get at most 2.5 days of studio time because he was never there. Finally, we had Mike Amato, who had replaced Rich Fisher as our tour manager, send Vince a fax telling him to get his ass to rehearsal. 15 minutes later, the studio phone rang. "Man, I'm sorry," he said. "Where were you?" I asked. "We've been trying to call you for 4 hours. This is bullshit." "I know, the phone lines were down." That set me off. "The phone lines were down? Then how the fuck did the fax go through? You had the phone off the hook because you didn't want to fucking come in. All of us drove through floods to get here, and you couldn't even be bothered." "Dude, take it easy. I thought rehearsal was canceled anyway with the flooding and everything." "Well, it wasn't. Get your ass down here before we really get pissed." As we waited for him to come, someone in the studio said that he had seen Vince out completely wasted at 3 a.m. the previous night. Whether it was true or not, it didn't matter. The conversation had already taken on a mutinous tone. Except for Mick, we were all slipping off the wagon, but Vince was the only one who was letting it affect his work, who was getting caught all the time, and who was constantly lying about it. By the time he arrived, the seed was already planted in our minds that he was holding us back. Maybe if Vince had walked in and apologized for staying out so late the night before and sleeping through rehearsal, everything would have been fine, but he didn't. "What the fuck's going on?" Vince raged as the lounge door flew open and he stood there soaked and sulking. "You know what?" I said. "We are having new lead singer talks again. We are down here working and we want to be here. This isn't going to happen if you don't want to be here and we have to force you out of bed every afternoon because you've been out all night drinking." "Maybe I would come in more if I liked the material." "Well, you could have told somebody." Tommy couldn't keep quiet any longer. "Maybe you'd like the material better if you had come to the studio a few times to be part of making it. Every time you fucking come in, dude, you're staring at your watch the whole time because you need to go to a fucking golf tournament or racing school. What the fuck's up with that?" "I'm looking at my watch because I can't stand being here. The album is stupid. The keyboards you're putting on the album make us sound like pussies." "Vince, we've been using keyboards since 83, I shot back. The bullshit flew back and forth like a game of tennis until he finally threw his racket into the net. "I'm not going to stay here and listen to this bullshit," he yelled at us. "I'm fucking out of here. I quit." He stormed off toward the door and looked back. "Call me if you ever change your fucking mind." He says he was fired. I say he quit. Either way, his head was on the chopping block, and he gave us a good excuse to lower the axe. Now that I look back on it, we were fried. We had toured nonstop behind Feel Good and Decade of Decadence, and then we were thrown back in the studio without a single break. I don't know if it was management or the record label or our own insecurity, but we were being pushed way too hard. Somebody should have just stepped in, realized we were under too much pressure, and given us a month to dry out under the sun in the Bahamas. Vince wasn't the problem. He was just the scapegoat. But the thing about Motley Crue is that we're so full-on dragster fuel-driven that as soon as we saw the green light, we put the pedal to the floor and shot through the gate so fast There was no time to look back until it was too late.